lesson today is found in the book of Ruth. We find the beginning of this chapter that as the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And there was a certain man by the name of Elimelech who was married to a woman by the name of Naomi, and he had two sons. And he decided that he would go up out of the land of Bethlehem, Judah, into the land of Moab. What judge was ruling at this time? Scripture doesn't give us any account. But there was a famine. A famine sometimes is caused by natural causes, sometimes by drought, sometimes by blight, sometimes by insects. Sometimes it's a judgment of God upon a land when we have a famine. When we have a famine, why, the people, they appear to have difficulty in getting the necessities of life, especially if we have farms and we are dependent upon the ground to bring forth food to eat. Then we begin to look around to see if we couldn't find some other place to go to so that we could plant and we could have things that are necessary. We find then the cause of this famine made this man go up to the land of Moab. This land of Moab was a heathen land. The people that dwelt in that country, they worshipped idols. And this people, Moab, they were bitter enemies of the Israelites. They were always causing great wars between each other. And God had placed a curse upon these people, the Moabites. None of them were to enter into the congregation of the Lord for the 10th generation, for the simple reason that when Israel was going up out of the land of Israel, out of Egypt, Moab refused to give Israel passage. They refused to give them either bread and water, which were necessities of life. And where they refused to give this unto his people Israel, God laid a curse upon them. And we find that these Moabites, they descended from one of the daughters of Lot. They were then heathen people, idolaters. And now this man, he's in need, he's in circumstances that he can't see his way through if he remains in Bethlehem, Judah. He has two sons, and he probably had been prosperous in this country. Bethlehem is what we would term fruitful. That's the meaning of the word Bethlehem. But when a famine comes, then regardless of how fruitful a country has been, why, it becomes a barren wilderness. And this man decided to leave Bethlehem, Judah. My hearers, this man leaving this country is a type of many people. When troubles and trials come upon us, when God visits a country or a particular area with a famine, then many people are looking around to see if they can't move to some place where it will go better with them. And many people make decisions in life when things are entirely against them, and they decide that they will go to this place and that place. They hear there's work there, and everybody is making a good living, and they decide that they will move too. That's what this man decided. But now he decided to move into Moab. There was no true worship of God in Moab, the heathen country. You think this man would have remained there in Bethlehem and would have remained under the judgments of God rather than go to a heathen country with his two sons and his wife? But he left and he went to reside there. How many don't leave the home that they've been born and brought up in, the place where they've lived all their life, and they leave their father, their mother, their brothers and sisters, their relatives, their friends. They leave their church, their religion. They leave the true worship of God. For what? The same reason that this man left Bethlehem, Judah. To get ahead, to be prosperous in the world. How many don't do this? Any young people listening to me? What a blessing. If you first go to God, he has said, acknowledge me in all thy ways, and I will direct thy paths. I'm pretty sure that Elimelech didn't acknowledge God in this way. How many have done this, and what has been the result of it? Have they been prosperous? Have they had the blessing of God on it? I'm afraid not. Follow this man. He left this country and he went to live in Moab. He planned to go ahead. He planned to be prosperous. He planned many things for his sons. And we find him dwelling there. And now the first thing that they meet with is that God comes and he takes Elimelech, the father, the provider of the household, away. Oh, my hearers, what an awful judgment this must have been to Naomi, to lose her husband in a strange land. But there she was. Of course, she had two sons. They were yet a comfort to her. But her husband was gone. How many listening to me know something of losing a partner in life, losing a husband, losing a wife? How empty the house has become. The place where he was, where he sat, is never to be filled no more. What grief, what anguish, what sorrow such people pass through. You that have experienced this, you understand a little bit of what Naomi went through. She lost her husband. Now this was the hand of God already going out against him. There she is with her two sons. And now what do we find that her two sons do? They marry two women out of Moab, Mahlon and Chilion. They both marry women that came out of this heathen country. The one married a woman by the name of Orpah, and the other married a woman by the name of Ruth. Another thing wrong. God had said that the Israelites should not mingle with the other nations. They were not to give their daughters into marriage unto the sons of heathen people, and neither were the sons to take daughters of these heathen people. But these two sons, they took women out of Moab, and they married them. The hand of God comes out again, my hearers. God strikes again. He takes away Mahlon and Chilion, the two sons. Oh, who can understand, who can comprehend the grief that this must have caused to this woman, Naomi, a God-fearing woman. Her name means beautiful, agreeable. But here she was in this heathen country, left all alone. Husband gone, two sons gone. All who can understand what must have went through her soul and through her mind. I don't know if any of them, those that are listening to me, have experienced something like this. What a grief, what a sorrow. When you have three deaths in the family. She was then left with her two daughter-in-laws. All my hearers, here were two young men, prime of their life, just married. God comes and takes them away. That isn't too pleasant, is it? Those that are young in life, they've just been married a few years. Just think if you had to lose your partner. They had everything that they thought they were going to have in this country. They were going to get prosperous. They were going to have homes. They were going to have children. But no, death came, took them away. There they were. Now, these two women, they didn't have any children. They were childless. So they were left without their husbands. It must have been a great grief and sorrow to them too. And we find these three women joined together in grief. The Bible teaches us that if any have sorrow, we should sorrow with them. And these three women, you may be sure, sorrowed together in the loss that they experienced. And now this woman, Naomi, as she had been an instrument in the hand of God to teach these two daughters that were married to her sons about the true God of Israel. She had instructed them, had spoken to them many times of the wonders that this God had done for the people of Israel. And she had spoken to them about their idolatry, that they shouldn't serve these stone gods that they worshipped in this country, but that they should turn away from that and that they should worship the God of Israel, who was her God. She probably many times related some of her wonderful experiences to these two daughter-in-laws. And where they seen that this Naomi was a God-fearing woman, was a faithful woman, and where she had been so good and so kind unto them and had instructed them, they many times had felt such an attachment to her that she actually was like a mother to them. And now we find that she's in this country all alone. What was she going to remain here for? There wasn't anything for her to remain there. And she heard that back in Bethlehem, Judah, God had visited his people again, and he had given them bread. And now she makes up her mind that she's going to go back to this place where she had went from 10 years before. And she makes known unto her two daughter-in-laws her decision that she's going to go back to Bethlehem, Judah. And of course, these two daughters, they loved her so much, were so attached to her, and they had watched her when she had experienced the loss of her husband and of her two sons. And they had seen her, that she had borne up under this. They wanted to go with her. They couldn't for the life of them think to leave Naomi, go back alone. No, they said, we will go with you. So we find that Naomi makes preparations to go, and her two daughter-in-laws, they accompany her. And now it appears that she came probably to the border of the land of Moab. And when she got to the border of this land, she began to speak unto her two daughter-in-laws. And she spake unto them that they should return to their mother's house and return unto their own country, and that they should find rest in the homes of their husbands. In other words, go back to your own country. You're young, you have an opportunity to be married again, you have another husband, and you may have children, and you can live happily in your own country. Return back to your own country. And the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with me and with the dead. She remembered how kind it had been to her. And she wished that God would be kind unto them. But these two daughters, they took hold of Naomi, and they began to weep very much. And they said, no, we're not going to go back. We're going to go with you. And now she speaks again. And she says, listen, she says, I am old. And if I should even have a husband tonight, she says, and should have children, Would you want to wait for them children to grow up to be your husbands? Would you wait and not take any other husband before that they were grown? Return unto your own house and to your own country and remain there. They said no. Now, they didn't want to return. They were both set on going with her. And now she entreats them again and speaks unto them. For three times she speaks to them that they should return back to their country. For they had nothing to look forward to if they went with her. She was all alone in the world. And when she came back into her country, there was no possible chance for them girls to get a husband. And they would have to be with her. And she didn't know what would become of her if she came back, for she had been gone 10 years. So she entreated them to return. Go back to your mother's house. There isn't anything closer than a mother to a child. And she thought that sure that they would come to her and kiss her and go back. And now one of them did. Orpah, she came and she kissed her mother-in-law. And she left her and returned back to her country, thinking that Ruth would do the same thing. But Ruth, she did not. Orpah then left Naomi and went back. And now Naomi speaks unto Ruth and says unto Ruth, return with thy sister-in-law unto thy own country and unto thy gods. We see in this then that Orpah, as she is like so many, that come to the border. And just like I was speaking the other week, almost a Christian. This Orpah, she resembles so many, they have an affection for Christ, but they don't love him completely. They have come to a decision in life, but when it comes to the test, as it did with Orpah, then it is revealed what is in their heart. What was in Orpah's heart? Why, Moab. And all what was in Moab had such a hold upon her, and the religion that she had in Moab, and the friends and the family, they had such an attachment in her heart that when Naomi spake to her to return, she kissed her and returned. You read in the scripture of a rich young man that came unto Christ. And this rich young man, he had lived a life that you and I could be jealous of. He had kept the law perfectly. And he came to Christ and asked Christ what he yet had to do so that he would be saved. And the Lord Jesus Christ detected this young man that he was covetous. He said, sell all that you have and give it unto the poor and take up your cross and follow me. And this rich young man couldn't do that. He was so attached to his riches that he'd rather go back to the world, rather have his riches than have Christ. And so it was with Orpah. She had so much of Moab in her heart that rather than leave all that and go with Naomi, she went back. How many Orpahs have I listening to me? How many have had a time in their life when they have been under the impression of the truth of God. Just as Naomi taught these two daughter-in-laws, so you have been under the truth. And while you've been under the truth, there's been a time probably in your life that it made such a deep impression upon you. And you were so impressed that this God in heaven above should be worshipped, should be served, should be loved. And you had it in your heart, we would say, to make a covenant with this God. You decided inside that you were going to live with this God. You were going to serve this God. Now, this God was going to be your God. This Orpah had. She was also under the impression of what Naomi had been teaching her and instructing her in. And now when it came to the test to leave everything, to forsake everything, and to go along with Naomi and go to Bethlehem, Judah, this was too much. This she couldn't do. How many are brought to this place? All my hearers, I fear there are so many Orpahs that have come so far and no further and have went back. And now when Naomi tested Ruth and said unto her, go back with your sister-in-law to your country and to your gods, there was something in the heart of this Ruth that was not in the heart of Orpah. That God in heaven above had blessed the instruction that Naomi had given unto her. And she had such deep impressions of this God that Naomi worshipped, that Naomi served, and that was Naomi's God. And she had been so under the impression of what Naomi was talking about, that this God had come down with his spirit, and he had wrought in her such a desire for himself, such a longing after himself, such a desire to know him, that when Naomi said to her, return as thy sister-in-law did, it was just like if an enemy was talking to her. It was just like if Naomi was an enemy to that love, to that choice, to that desire that she had in her soul. This Ruth, oh, she couldn't bear to have Naomi say to her, go back to your country and to your gods. No, she could never do that. She never wanted to go back to worship them gods. They weren't any gods to her. There was only one God for her, and that was this God that she had been instructed by Naomi in. And all she wanted this God to be her God. And she loved Naomi because of the Spirit of God that had been in Naomi and which had been used by God as an instruction for her soul. She then loved this God in heaven above all what she had in Moab. And when Naomi told her to go back, she says, entreat me not to leave thee from following after thee. For she says, where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And where thou goest, I will go. And she says, thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. And where thou diest, I will be buried, and God do so unto me, if it be not so. Oh, my hearers, what a wonderful expression we find in what she exclaims here. All her heart was so set upon going with Naomi back to Bethlehem, Judah, Her heart was so set on knowing this God. She wanted to say, in her lifetime, this God is my God. She loved this God. She didn't know him yet, but she had such a desire to know him. And she loved Naomi because Naomi had been speaking unto her about this God. And to leave Naomi, that was impossible. And therefore, she made this blessed exclamation. She came out with what was in her heart. She had made this choice by grace. She could not go back, and she did not go back, because when she spake this way, Naomi was so assured of what was going on in her that she answered her no more. My hearers, you may say, why did Naomi speak this way to these two young women? Wouldn't it have been better for her to have taken these two young women with her? And possibly, when she got them down into the land of Judah, why then she would have brought them to the knowledge of this God. She would have brought them away from the idolatrous worship which they had been in all their life. I believe Naomi wanted that. Every sincere child of God wants to take someone with them that they possibly could. But you know, if we go along with somebody because they're our friend, because we like that person, and we become religious because of that person, that conversion don't last too long. It all falls in a heap. But Naomi put them to the test to see whether it was true in their hearts and whether what they said was going to be done. And now Ruth, if she came out with what was in her heart, and so did Orpah. Ruth, then, if she is a type of a child of God. Oh, what a blessed choice she made, my hearers. How many that's listening to me know of a time in your life when you likewise were brought by the Spirit of God to have deep impressions in your soul concerning this God in heaven above? And the impressions that you had, they were kindled by the Spirit of God, and they brought you to seek this God. They brought you with such a feeling after him that you wished that he would be your God. You desired to know him. You desired to love him. You desired to fear him. Oh, this God was everything unto you. You left your worldly friends. You left probably even your husband or your wife. You left everything for him. He became the chiefest object of your affections. He meant everything to you. And he gave you to make that choice that Ruth made. You remember that time in your life? And now there may be some listening to me that have experienced this, but they think that they are Orpahs. I just related to you how far Orpah went, that she had impressions, that she had feelings, and that she also wanted to go at first. But when it was put to the test to leave and to forsake everything, then she returned back. And now there came a time maybe in your life, you who have made this choice, it was a gracious choice. It wasn't that you did it. It was God that inclined your heart to fear him and to love him. But there came a time when this seemed to die away. the affections that you had to God, the desires after Him, the longing after Him, the feelings that you had in prayer under the hearing of the Word, all seemed to go. And you found sin became alive, became so strong. It continually overpowered you. You had no might, no strength against it. And as sin prevailed, the thought rose up in you, I wonder if it could be true with me. I wonder if that was now God's work. I begin to doubt and to fear that maybe it was just myself, that there was nothing of God in it, that I did it. All this fire, this life, can be so under the ashes, my hearers, the ashes of this world. It can be so barren and so dead and so lifeless in a soul that it thinks it's just like Orpah. Orpah went back to her country and to her gods. Let me ask you now, is that what you did? Are there some listening to me that had these impressions and that they died away and you went back into the world? You went back to your former friends? You began to live like you did before? You began to say, I ain't going to give all this up just to be religious. I ain't going to make a profession of religion. And then maybe in the end I'll be deceived anyway. I might just as well enjoy myself. And you went back to your former life. Did you do that? You forget all about it? Oh, my hearers, you surely are an Orpah. Or you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. You are like the scripture says, you have returned like the sow to the wallowing in the mire. Oh, I hope that God may give you to see what is necessary. Shall it be well with you? True repentance, a true godly sorrow, a returning unto God, a repentance that shall never be repented of. And now there may be some child of God here that says, well, I don't know. I went back too. I fell into this sin and I fell into that sin. And could it be true by me yet? Is it possible? Let me ask you a question. Do you sin with delight? Isn't it your grief if you fall into sin? Isn't it your complaint that you wish you hadn't sinned? You wish that you never would have to sin? You wish that God would forgive you your sins? You wish that you were more and more loose of the world and of the things of time and sense, and that you could live more holy and righteously before God? Isn't it your complaint that you can't do that? You haven't any strength, you haven't any power, you're so weak, you're so helpless. Is this your case? But then you have made a choice like Ruth. That God is teaching you and leading you and stripping you of all what you thought would be ground before God, so that Christ in his fullness may find a place in your soul, and that he may become the rock upon which you may build for time and eternity. And now we find that this woman, Naomi, she came back to Bethlehem, Judah, with Ruth. And as they enter into the city, it was 10 years before this that she left. Oh, when she left, she went away with so many desires and so much expectation. Oh, they were going to live there and they were going to have prosperity and they were going to have it good. But woe, woe. She come back and she's an old woman. And the people, they see these two women walking in the street. And they begin to say, who are they? And one of them recognizes her and says, "Hey, that's Naomi. You remember Naomi? 10 years ago, she left here with her husband and her two sons. That's Naomi. Naomi? Is that Naomi?" How different she looks. How old. Oh, how different. Her hair is gray and she's all bent with age. How different she looks from when she left here. Oh, Naomi had went through so much. And it didn't remain in her clothes, like we say in Holland, but it was to be seen on her body that she had went through this. And these people, when they seen her like that, they couldn't believe that it was the same person. Don't that happen yet today? It's possible that some of you knew somebody years ago, and they went away too somewheres, and they came back, and how different they looked. How different they talked, how different they acted, and you could hardly believe that they were the same people. I would like to see this in a spiritual way, that people are born again, that when they come back, people will say, "What a different man, what a different woman that is, altogether different than what they were before. Why, they were so worldly, and they were so happy and so filled with the spirit of the devil, and they didn't care about anything, but now they're so solemn, they're so serious, they look so different. Could it be that they are the same people?" That's a blessed change, my hearers. But this woman went through a lot in life, and if you go through much in life, you will see it on yourself too. You lose a husband, you lose a child or something, you'll know something about that sorrow and that grief, and that brings a person down. It makes a person age very rapidly. Now, I can't go on with this, my hearers. It's 3:05. I don't know what to do about this book of Ruth. I thought I'd just end up with this first chapter. I have much to speak about yet. How that Naomi says to those that said to her, "Is this Naomi?" She said, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and I came back empty." You know, there's so much in the book of Ruth, my hearers. If God gives you a little light and unfolds it for you, it's a blessed book to speak out of. But our Bible lessons are going on, and I fall way behind, and many people say, "Well, why don't he keep up with the rest?" I agree with you. Next week, I'll take up the lesson of Samuel. There in the book of Samuel, next week, we'll begin with the first chapter of Samuel, the Lord willing. This concludes our lesson for today. The Lord bless the feeble instructions that I've tried to get out of the Word to your immortal souls. That's all.